another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, heart, fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and so glad that you joined us today. We have a phenomenal show for you today. We're going to be talking about men's ministries. Women, do not turn that dial right now. You stick with me. You stick with me because you're part of this and you're part of the solution. You're part of growing the men's ministry in this Twin Cities. We're going to talk about men in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis because we've got a big, big conference coming up March 21st. It's at St. Thomas, the Field House, the Anderson Field House. Last year, we had about 1,500 men there. We're expecting this year that we could have upwards of 2,500 men, and we need your husband, we need your boyfriend, we need your neighbor there to help us in this archdiocesan vision. I'll tell you, there's some exciting things happening right now in the archdiocese, and I know that we've had some difficult times, and there's so many good people that are working on that and praying and working hard to make right some of the things that have gone wrong in the past. And at the same time, we are also have our hands to the plow in building up the men and the women of this archdiocese and planning some events that I think are going to be very, very fruitful. A little bit here, a little bit later on the show, in fact, after a break in just a few minutes, Father Bill Baer from Transfiguration will be joining us today, and he is the liaison for the men's ministry between the Archbishop and the Archdiocese, and I work with him. And also joining us will be Matthew Christoff, who has started a men's ministry that is really gaining momentum called Evangelization. And he has been spending the last few years literally studying the problem that we're facing with men and their faith and their influence on their families. And I think you're going to be surprised at some of the statistics and how much work we have ahead of us. But you know what? We serve a mighty Lord, and the Lord has a bigger vision than we do. And we're just trying to tap into what He wants to do to bring men to their faith and for men to lead their families and lead their sons and their daughters and to be godly husbands. That's what this is all about. So, ladies, that's why I said, do not turn that dial. You can learn something here, and you can pass it on. And men, you're listening. This is an opportunity for us to really rally and to do something to change the world. And I know you are looking, men, you're looking for a battle to win, a beauty to defend, and you're looking for something much bigger than your own narrative in your life. And that's what Jesus, I believe, is giving us in this archdiocese. You know, the studies show that if men will become involved in their faith and they will be a part of teaching their children and passing on the faith to their children, the statistics are staggering as to how many of their kids will continue on with the faith versus a man who simply lets the rest of the family, namely his wife, run the show as far as spiritually. Now, I think women have that nurturing gene in them, and they're automatically going to pick it up, but sometimes it's because you men will not do it. Sometimes we don't do it. And as a result of it, somebody does do it. But you know what? The best scenario is with mom and dad working together and for a father to take his place as a chief catechist and start to have an influence on his children. And I know that a lot of fathers, you're saying, but I don't know my faith that well. Well, that's being honest. You're starting from zero. That's fine. We can help you. Men can help you. If we come together, we can start to learn our faith. And some of the initiatives that we're going to be announcing on March 21st for this Archdiocese for Men don't require you to be a scholar or to be a theologian or to have any kind of degree in theology or to become a Bible teacher. You just need a willing heart. And if you have that willing heart, I'm telling you what, you can have a big influence on your boys. You can have a big influence on your girls. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to be taking a break here. And as I said, we're going to come back with Father Bill Bear, and we're going to talk with Matthew Kristoff. This is a show, I believe, that has ramifications for the future of the Archdiocese concerning men, and a trickle-down effect concerning marriage, and a further trickle-down effect, it concerns your children and the rest of their life. And if you want to go even further than that, we're talking about the eternal destiny of those little children that you have. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back right after this. Rediscover.
I'm Carrie Becker. If you'd like to make changes or additions to your home, I hope you'll call us.
In the past year, I've had Becker Building and Remodeling doing some new construction and some updating of my home. And I needed a company that I could trust with my project. After putting it off for way too long out of fear of making a mistake, I am so happy that I finally chose Carrie Becker and his crew to make my improvements. The fact that Becker Building and Remodeling have been sponsors of my favorite radio station for more than 6 years, it gave me confidence that they were reliable, thorough, and we had our faith in common. I am so happy with the work they've done. I've recommended them several times. If you need to update, remodel, or build something new, I hope you will contact Becker Building and Remodeling.
Keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith. Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493. A Catholic-owned business you can trust.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we're talking about men and men's ministry in the Archdiocese. Spring is in the air, and when spring rolls around, a lot of people are cleaning out the garage, getting ready for the summer. But I want to give you something else to get ready for, and that is eternity. And to do that, we have to focus on where we're at as men in this Archdiocese. And joining me today to engage in a lively discussion on this are two wonderful men, Father Bill Bear, pastor of Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale, and we also have Matthew Kristoff, who is the founder of Evangelization. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Father Bear, you're a longtime friend, and we go back to Bishop Dudley. And I imagine Bishop Dudley, if he were with us right now today, he'd be saying, "You guys, go for it."
That's a pretty good impersonation. And Bishop Dudley, he's a hero. He's a saint to me. And he said something over and over again, which is to the fathers, to the men, he said, "You've got to step up." And I can still see him with that fire in his belly and his fire in his eyes saying, "Men, men, men, step up." And that's what we're going to do at the conference.
Father Bear, you are the liaison between the Archbishop and the Archdiocese, the men of the Archdiocese. Explain to us just briefly the role that you play and a little bit of your thoughts as to where we've been in the last few years and where you think we are at now and where we're going.
Well, Jeff, I'm so excited in this capacity because as a priest, as a pastor, as this liaison, as you just said, we have been overdue to take the work we're doing with the men of this archdiocese, the tremendous work, and take it one step forward. You know, I think of the famous parable by our Lord, the sower and the seed, and sadly, the way that seed could be put in shallow soil, springs up, gets a little bit going, but then doesn't have what it takes to keep going. I'm convinced that this conference and the significant developments we're going to be announcing are going to be that difference to give men something solid to move forward.
And I am excited about it. Joining us also, Matthew Kristoff. Matthew, you just got back from Rome.
Oh, yeah. The first time I'd been there since I converted to the faith in 2006. And I got to tell you, as a pilgrim, you just have a greater appreciation for the faith than you can imagine. I strongly encourage anybody who's got the potential to go there to get there.
So you truly have crossed the Tiber.
Yeah, actually a number of times.
That's good. Well, we've got this conference coming up, big conference, March 21st, 8 in the morning to noon at St. Thomas, the Anderson Fieldhouse. And we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. But let's lay the foundation for men's ministry in the Archdiocese today. I think that it's fair to say that a lot of men would say, I want to get more involved, and I feel deep in my belly that call. I don't know what to do with it, and I don't know my faith really that well. Paint a picture for us, Matthew, of where are we at with men right now at this time in history?
Well, there's a serious man crisis in the Catholic Church. It's widespread, and it's pervasive. And you can look at a couple of numbers and be able to get your actually, it makes your gut stir a little bit when you hear these numbers, but 1 in 3 of the men that have been baptized in the faith have left the faith. Imagine that. If you were in an army and, you know, 1 in 3 of your guys that you were fighting with suddenly took off, or if you're running a business and a third of your customers left, you would recognize that as a major crisis. That's the first part that we've got to come to grips with, is that we have large numbers of men that have left the faith. The second part is equally troubling. Large numbers of men who are practicing or still in the faith don't practice the faith. They don't know the faith. That's some 50 to 60% of men.
When you say they don't know the faith, what details or what components of the faith don't they know?
Well, it's the basics, and that's one of the things that gives me such great hope with the work that we're doing and launching this in the men's conference, is that helping men understand some of the basics of the faith will have a dramatic effect. They always have, and they always will. Couple of examples. Large numbers of men, actually 75% of men, don't believe that confession is very important. Only about 25% of men go to confession in a year. Mm-hmm. The Mass. Only about a quarter of men think that weekly Mass is important. If you ask large numbers of men if they get something out of the Mass, 55% of them don't believe that anything is happening in the Mass. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a dramatically bad number, but the good news is if we can help men understand the Mass and help them understand the power of confession, it can have a dramatic effect.
Well, that was my question, and Father, you might chime in on this. When we say that these statistics, which are a bit sobering, of how many men do not believe that it's necessary to go to Mass every week or to go to confession, it doesn't sound to me like they have really all of the data, studied it, thought about it, prayed about it, and then came to that conclusion. It sounds like more that there's a certain level of ignorance that's there.
Oh, that's so true, Jeff and Matthew. In fact, men is a bit of a stereotype. But men want a goal. They want to focus on something. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? And sadly, there's many situations in church life in which it doesn't feel like that at all. It's just like, whatever, who cares, what difference? And men just gravitate towards places with purpose, with focus. And that's what we have to get back, whether it's in the parish, in the family life, or in this great conference that's coming up. We've got to say, men, we're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Here's how to get there.
Going on, Matthew, with your line of reasoning there, the statistics are staggering. Tell us a little bit more about the situation that we're in with men.
Well, if you look at men and you ask men if they're committed to the faith, large numbers of them aren't. Only about a quarter of men are practicing, consider themselves to be practicing Catholics. One of the really, you hit on this earlier when you talked about the importance of helping our children get to heaven and helping our spouses get to heaven. Well, you know what? Only about half of Catholic men believe it's critical for their children to be Catholic. And
what was that number again?
That was 50% only.
That's what I thought you said.
And that number actually, and what happens is when a man is not committed to pass the faith along to his children don't remain Catholic. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the trends over a 25-year period, what we're seeing is young people are increasingly leaving the faith, and the ones that remain are only about 20% of them are committed to stay Catholic. The 80% said, you know, I might change. I might do something else. So these kinds of statistics tell you that there is a crisis, but they also tell you that we can do some basic things and help men understand their faith better, and it's going to have a dramatic impact.
Mm-hmm. Father, as a pastor, you concur? Are these the types of numbers that you see? And
of course. And in fact, let's be honest. I'll bet a lot of people who are hearing these statistics on one level are shocked and struck. I'll bet a lot of us on another level say, no, that's what I've been picturing. And that's in some ways the most shocking, Jeff, is that we've gotten used to this. We have gotten used to a church culture in which these sort of statistics have become commonplace. And that's what I think has to happen through this conference and through these other efforts. We have to, in some ways, shake men up and say, you've got to picture, you've got to imagine, you've got to have a vision that's very different than perhaps what you've seen, where your faith is number 82 on your list of priorities. That is what God is doing right now. He is not just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, so to speak. God is instead shifting the whole way that men think about this, in which they can truly say, God is first.
That's good. Matthew, we're talking to Matthew Christoph and Father Bill Baer about the men's situation, the men's, as Matthew says, the man crisis in the Archdiocese, which I would imagine that this is a man crisis nationwide. It's not something that's particular to our Archdiocese. But moving on with some of the studies you've done, Matthew, you have interviewed dozens and dozens and dozens of national leaders, and you've asked them questions about men. What were those questions, and what did you find out?
Well, I mean, to step back for a second, there's been three parts to this study. One is the assembly of statistics, and we've already talked about some of those. Mm-hmm. The second is this interview of, there's over 70 leaders that have been interviewed, including a cardinal and a number of priests and deacons and large numbers of men that are active in evangelization. And then the last thing that we've done is we fielded a pretty extensive survey of 2,000 men. So the questions really are, is there a man crisis? The numbers tell you there are, but pretty much everyone I talk to recognizes it, much like Father Baer said. Secondly, the drivers of the crisis. What is causing this? There are things that are happening outside in the broader culture, and then things that have happened within the church. You know, we're living in an increasingly post-Christian time where God is ignored, where sexuality is exploited in so many ways, where we're in overwhelmed with technology, and men, you know, get engaged in all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the other statistics that's pretty profound is the fact that 65%+ of Christian men are looking at pornography on a monthly basis. This is one of the big things that drive men away, I think, and dull their senses. Mm-hmm. But things within the church, you know, we haven't yet woken up or made the commitment to evangelize men, and that's probably the single biggest thing that we can do in the church. And I got to tell you, through all these conversations, you know, certainly you've both seen it, there's a latent hunger by men to step up, and they're ready. And I think with this kind of a rallying cry that from the conference, we're going to see men coming out of the woodwork.
You talk about evangelizing men, and I think we should spend just a couple of minutes here, Matthew and Father Baer, in talking about evangelizing men, because these, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I came back to the church after leaving, and I've been back for about 20 years. But you don't hear that language a lot. I mean, if people are at your local parish, I don't know how many people think, you know what, we need to evangelize them, because, well, why would you evangelize somebody who is already coming to Mass on Sunday, and maybe their kids are in a CCD program? What do we mean, Father, when we say that we, as Matthew said, we need to evangelize men?
This is exactly the point. The problem is we're not talking about people from some part of the world that have never heard any of this at all. That would be easier, to be honest, Jeff. The challenge is we have become, and our men have become, inoculated. They've gotten just enough of Jesus, just enough of the gospel to say, all right, now I don't want to catch a fever. We have got to find a way to say, listen, you may have heard this or seen this or thought you understood this for a long, long time, but in the words of Al Jolson, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've got to have that kind of impact where someone says, I think this is something way beyond anything I've ever known before.
So it sounds like to me that the two of you gentlemen are not talking about a mamby-pamby gospel, but you're talking about a challenge to men that will bring them up to the place that God actually expects them to be.
Yeah, absolutely. The one of the big themes coming out of this research is the fact that men need to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty simple ways to get men's attention, I think, to get past that inoculation. You know, most men don't know Jesus. This is one of Bishop Pache's big insights that helped us start Catholic Man Night. And the idea is, you know, can you give a 3 to 5 minute argument for why you follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Frankly, most Catholic men can't do that. They haven't had that conversion of heart.
Yeah. I had just a side note. I had an interesting flight a few years ago from Salt Lake City to Atlanta, and I sat down next to a guy that I thought he's probably a Mormon. So he sat down, and I said, "Are you Mormon?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "I'm an elder." We had a 3-hour flight, so I said, "Well, let's do this. First hour, you give me your best shot, and you tell me why I should become Mormon." And then I said, "The second hour, you give me my best shot. I'll give you my best shot." And we had a marvelous conversation, but it's like you're saying, can you sit down with anybody and share your faith and the reason for the hope that is within you? And I think that should be the expectation level. Talk to me a little bit about what should be the expectation level for a man. And I'm thinking about three categories. One, personally, in a man's life. What's the expectation of a Catholic man? We can talk about that for a few minutes, and then I'd like to talk about the expectation at home, and then the expectation at the parish level. But on a personal level, what are we talking about when we say there's a man crisis and men need to come up to what point? Describe that to me.
The first thing that you had to mention is exactly right. We have to step into every situation, whether it's a seat on an airplane, the conversation around the water cooler at work, and say, Jesus Christ is important to me. I don't have to shove it on people. I don't have to somehow find a weird way to bring that up. But of course, a man who has a terrific family, surprise, surprise, talks about it. A man whose team just won a big game yesterday, surprise, surprise, they talk about it. We have to believe that what we have is not just good news, it's terrific news. And it's news that person next to us really will enjoy and appreciate hearing. Do you believe that? Then it's going to happen.
Father, what do you see a man doing on a personal level related to his faith that you would say, that's where you really need to be?
Two kinds of questions. Someone says to you, what's going on? What's big right now in your life? Is Jesus Christ and the great things he's doing anywhere in your top 10 list? It should be. And if it is, you're going to tell that. And then the other question the other way. You're talking to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, and they're talking about their frustrations, their anxieties, their fears. What are you prepared to do? Are you just going to shake your head and say, yeah, boy, life is something, isn't it? Or are you going to respond with what you know is the good news that's available?
And Matthew, the basic disciplines at a personal level, you've been doing a lot of studying, you're talking to men, you're starting to go out to conferences. What are some of the basic daily disciplines that a Catholic man of God should be experiencing?
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about this in the conference, and we're going to be launching what we call the Committed Catholic Man, which basically distills down for a man so he can grasp it, 7 things that you should be doing. And frankly, this, you know, Father Bear should probably be talking about this because this is something that he has proposed and has taught for many years. But there's daily things. You need to pray. You need to pray with your family, and you need to pray by yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the world's greatest prayer, but
you don't have to have a British accent either, do you?
You don't. The second thing is, before you go to sleep at night, you should be examining your conscience. You know, how did the day go? And God, please help me through the night. Mm-hmm. Weekly, you know, you got to get to Mass. That worship and that showing your gratefulness to God is so critical. And keeping the Sabbath, resting on that day. Men need to be recharged. We need to meet Jesus in Scripture, especially with our family. That's something we should be doing daily, but at least weekly. And we need to be performing acts of mercy on a weekly basis. And then monthly, there's 2 things that we got to get through to every man. One is, at minimum, you should be getting to confession and reconciliation every month. And for many men, it needs to be more frequent than that. That's the great blessing in our lives, is to have this absolution that comes from confession. And then the last thing is to build fraternity with other men. Mm-hmm. There's a great crisis of loneliness within Catholic men.
That's a great look at the personal level at some of the basic fundamental things that men need to be doing in their life. Father Bear, at the home level, it's one thing for a man to focus on his own heart and his own spiritual growth, but what's his responsibility in the home?
There's certainly a daily responsibility, as you said, and I have a feeling we're going to be busting through some exciting ideas about how men can do that on a daily basis. A man is a teacher to his children, a role model to his children, an intercessor for his children. And if nothing else, the first point might be this. I knew a man, a very powerful Wall Street executive. And when he would come home to his family in New Jersey, a big family, busy family, loud family, he would pull into his parking lot, the driveway, saying, "Lord, this is not the time off from my life now that I'm back from work on Long and Wall Street. This is prime time." And he would say that prayer, take a deep breath, and go into that dinner hour and that time with his family evening knowing this is big time. If a man simply approached his evening that way and said, "This is not my time off, this is prime time. Whatever happens tonight at dinner and so forth, I'm going to go into it with great vigor," that would be a revolution for many men.
So we've covered a little bit about the personal level. The man should be focused on certain things, prayer and going to confession, going to Mass every week, examining his life at the end of the day. Great Ignatian prayer there in the examine. Is a wonderful way to look back. It's kind of like looking at your life at the end of the day on YouTube, you know, is looking at that video with the Lord and saying, "Okay, let's go back over the day." And Father, you mentioned a few things in the home. Before we move to the parish level, what about the ladies? I think sometimes when we talk about men taking their place and growing spiritually and being a man of God, is there a chance that women might feel a little bit threatened by that?
Well, one of the great things that's happening in the church is Pope Francis is talking about lifting up the dignity of women and for men to cut the machismo. We absolutely have to see this in our society and in the world. But that's never going to happen unless we convince men about being committed Catholic men. They got to know the faith, and if they do that in the spirit of St. Joseph, they will be the greatest husbands and the greatest fathers. And for too long, Catholic men have been leaving our women holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
We need to step up and do our share. And this is not some kind of dominant male masculinity rule the world thing. This is about stepping up and getting balance.
Right. You know, when I was a pastor, I'm not a father bear, that's for sure. But when I was a pastor before, I used to take a poll every year and ask the women of the church, "What do you want in your men, in your husbands?" And every year, the answers were identical. They said, number one, these are women, these are strong women. They said, number one, I want my husband to lead our family spiritually. Number two, I want him to pray with me. Now, these were the things that men felt a little bit uncomfortable about. The very things that women were begging for, the men felt they were unqualified, and then they hit another wall. And Father, maybe you can speak to this. Their wife knows them better than anybody. She knows that there are areas of his life where he's hypocritical. She knows that there's areas of his life that he's out of control. She knows how he respects or how he doesn't respect the children. She knows a lot of this. And so for him to suddenly turn on a dime and say, "You know what? There's a new man. There's a new sheriff in town, spiritually speaking," he feels uncomfortable about that. This dynamic I have seen over and over, and that is the man feeling like a hypocrite, and that if I suddenly turn quote-unquote religious, I feel uncomfortable about that. Can you address that?
Well, people are surprised when sometimes I say, "Two cheers for hypocrites." By that, I mean this. We all know there's something wrong and bad about hypocrisy. But the reason why I say, let's at least give some credit, let's give a couple of cheers to this is that most of us do not jump from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. We're on the way and halfway on the way, and this is true of so many men who've said, "Gosh, I want to make some changes in how I'm living, how I'm doing." They don't arrive instantaneously, and halfway there, they look a little awkward. It's like anyone learning to play the violin.
Right, right.
Do not go near anyone learning to play the violin during the first week.
Oh, yeah.
A husband, a father, trying to get his life more God-centered is going to look pretty awkward, perhaps even hypocritical in the early stages. Wives, please stick with your husbands. Don't mock them. Don't be frustrated with them. They are making their first steps, and they can be awkward. But thank God those steps are in the right direction.
Well, that's a beautiful word. I really appreciate that. You know, you talk about learning the violin and how awkward you can feel. I mean, when I tried to learn the violin, I blew into that thing for 3 months, and I couldn't get anything out of it at all. Little joke. Now, before we take our break, let's talk about at the parish level. We looked at what we expect of men at a personal level, at home. But, Father, maybe you can open this up. At the parish level, as a parish pastor,
you look out there at the men, what's on your wish list?
Oh, we could go from simple to big things here, Jeff. Let me offer one perhaps to give us all a chuckle. If I had to ask you, I've got two different masses among our Sunday masses, one which has a big full choir, one which has no choir. The songs are being sung without any instrumentation. I choose them. I choose these rump-a-bump-bump old-fashioned hymns. Guess which ones the men sing louder at? They sing louder in that simple, holy God, we praise thy name sort of song. Mm-hmm. I know music is not the whole thing, but I'm serious. Do we actually choose our music even according to the range that men can sing, the range that men will sing? Oh, there's a lot more than this, Jeff, as you know. But those little things make a difference. Mm-hmm. Do we send messages? What, by the time the man walks out of church, has he concluded, this is for women, it's not for me? We've got to look at that.
Can you envision a day where there will be at least 50% of the catechists in your church, maybe even more men, who are stepping up to the plate to teach children?
Yes, and to go back to something we've said a couple moments ago, the key is for the man to believe it's worth stepping through the awkwardness. Yes, maybe his wife does know where the book of Nehemiah is in the Bible, and he doesn't know whether it's Nehemiah or Jezemiah, but he is willing to take those first steps to get there. That's the key.
Oh, that's good. You know, talking, if you just joined us, we're having a very lively conversation in preparation for the March 21st Men's Conference at the Anderson Fieldhouse at St. Thomas. It's from 8 in the morning till noon. You can get signed up for it right now by going to archspm.org, and you can sign up online. I believe it's only going to be $20 to get in. You get a great breakfast and you get a morning burrito and all of that, but you're going to get some really good teaching. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, who's going to be there and what we're going to talk about. But women, I just put the challenge out to you right now. Put it on your calendar. If you and your husband share a Google Calendar, can you put it on there right after this broadcast? Put it on there just to remind, talk to your husband tonight. Matthew, we were talking about machismo just a few minutes ago, and Father, I'm sure you would concur, this is not about machismo at all. You know, what I've heard from women, when you ask them, what are you looking for in a man? They're not looking for William Wallace to come home every day. They're looking for someone who is kind, someone who is gentle, someone who is caring, but yet is a strong leader. That's what we're looking for, right?
Strong and courageous. I mean, Saint Joseph. I mean, he's our example. I believe every woman would love to have a husband who would say to her, you know, I love you so much. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to pray with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my best to make sure our children get to heaven. Because each man, as we think about the things that can motivate a man, you know, we've talked a little bit about the fear of being awkward and not knowing their faith and actually being, you know, having a wife that knows much more about their faith than you do. But every man can be motivated by the idea that, you know, your children's lives are on the line. The statistics, as you mentioned, are overwhelming, that men have a dramatic effect on the faith life of their children. And if men are disengaged, the likelihood the children will be.
I've often said that most men, if you cornered them and you had their children there and you asked them the question, are you willing to die for your children? The answer would be, what do you think?
Absolutely.
But I don't think the question is whether you would die for your children. I think the question we're asking today is, will you die slowly for your children? Will you give of yourself? Will you sacrifice yourself? Will you take time away from some of the sports and some of the hobbies and put them into something that truly will yield eternal dividends, eternal fruit? And that is being involved in your children's lives. And you got, as Father said, you got to start somewhere. And if you start in an awkward way, then you start in an awkward way. But you know what? You're being honest about it, and you're putting that foot forward. And I commend you for doing that. Wow, we're going to have a great conference. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to continue our conversation with Father Bill Bear and with Matthew Christoph as we talk a little bit about the content of this conference coming up. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
J. Gianna Homes in the Twin Cities has transformed the traditional memory care residence into a more positive life experience, and they now have two locations. You'll feel something very special from the moment you walk through the door.
I'm Anne Marie Hansen of Gianna Homes. We are passionate about providing our memory care patients a place where they can thrive. I invite you to tour one or both of our locations. We would also invite you to inquire how your contribution to Gianna Homes could help support our mission of treating mind, body, and spirit. You can call me directly at 952-988-0953.
Call 952-988-0953. Gianna Homes lovingly cares for the mind, body, and spirit of their dementia and Alzheimer's patients. For details on how they can care for your loved one, call 952-988-0953 or relevantradio.com, keyword caring.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. This is a show all about the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis and the fine things that are happening. And in the Office of Evangelization, we have a great conference coming up March 21st. It's a men's conference at the Anderson Fieldhouse from 8 in the morning till noon. All the information is on the website, archsbm.org. Ran across a great sign not too long ago. You know, life has many choices. Eternity has two. And all of us as men have to face that fact that eternity has two choices, and everything you do says something about where you will go, where you will end up. And someone once told me, they said, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, sooner or later, you might. You know, I don't believe in heaven. Well, you might. And so we need to make choices today, because they do have big ramifications, not only for our wife and our friends, but, you know, our precious children. We're talking with Matthew Christoph and Father Bill Baer about this conference coming up. And gentlemen, we're expecting a lot of men to come out during the conference. And for some men, they're not used to getting together with other men to talk about their faith. I think that there might even be a need for a fraternal bonding with one another that we know and we experience at the Vikings game, but we never quite experience at the church. Matthew?
Well, you know, we did this survey of 2,000 men, and the men that responded by design were primarily committed Catholic men that were getting to Mass, men going to confession. One of the shocking things from this research was that only about 20% of those men had deep bonds of brotherhood in their parishes. You know, there's all kinds of different kinds of friends to have, but to have true friendship, you really have to care about what's the best for a person. And for Catholics and for all men, really, it's about the eternal good. The bond of brotherhood that you get with other Catholic men is something that not only is going to enrich your life today, but it's going to help you have eternal life.
And Father, I think that's evidenced by how men get together for bowling leagues and hunting and fishing and in so many different ways. Men do like to get together with men and share their lives.
No, in fact, I've said about our past annual men's conferences, with no disrespect to the speakers, that part of the value of doing it is doing it. And yes, of course, we expect and always have terrific talks and everything is fantastic, but there's something good in men getting together as Catholic men. It does something in those later moments, those lonely moments, in those fighting moments, to say, I am not alone. And you know who hates to hear that is the devil. He hates to hear us say, I am not alone in my fights and struggles. I have seen them. I am joined together with many other brothers in Jesus Christ.
That is such a great point. And C.S. Lewis brings that out in the Screwtape Letters. You know, the strategy from the enemy's perspective, one of them is isolate. And so many of our men are isolated. And I'll tell you, last year, Father, you spoke at the conference last year. You gave an incredible message. I love hearing your messages. And when I walked in there to that men's conference with 1,500 men, just as you said, just do it. Just looking out at the crowd raised me up and encouraged me just to see men together. And I think this year we're going to go even beyond that. This year's theme, by the way, is conquering sin.
And I want to talk about that a little bit. And I don't want to give the impression that this is the only thing that we have to look at, or that this is the major issue before men become saints. But it is one of many issues, and it's an important issue. And I know that there's a lot of other things that men need to do to be formed and to grow in their faith. But sin is an enemy, isn't it? And Father, if you could open up, when we talk about sin, what is sin? What happens in a man's life when he walks in sin, and what's the end of that, and what's the solution that Christ gives us?
Well, obviously, when you have a title for a conference like Conquering Sin, a lot of attention goes to the second of those two words. It's a very spicy word, a very juicy word. But to be honest with you, Jeff, I think we need to start with the first word, conquering, because frankly, for many of us, what is sin in our lives, we don't even see as something that must be conquered. Oh, it's over there like a little smudge over there, like something I'm not so proud of. Mm-hmm. But we don't often use words like conquer. And yet that is the first and most important point. This is a spiritual battle. And that's not something that should scare any of us, but it sure as heck should wake us up. One of the things we're never going to do about sin is if we only sleepwalk through it, if we give it little attention. This conference, if nothing else, is going to say, these are issues of battle. And thank God, a battle with Jesus Christ as our captain.
So what are some of the types of things that men are dealing with that are causing them to be isolated, causing them to hide, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they committed the original sin, the first thing they did is they hid.
Well, I'm sure that I've said this so many times that some of you listening on the radio right now will repeat it before I even say it. I talk about the unholy Trinity. I hear it once, I've heard it 1,000 times in confession. So many people come to confession with the unholy Trinity of sins. First, something having to do with their relationships. They're not getting along with their spouse. They're not getting along. There's problems, resentments, fights, and squabbles. Second is sexual sin, impurity of various kinds, doing something on the computer I shouldn't be doing something with my eyes and my thoughts, some sort of interaction with somebody on the workplace that's just wrong. That's always the second member of that unholy Trinity. And third is our prayer life. Our prayer life is in the pits. We're not doing it. It's a joke. So many times when it comes to what we're trying to conquer, that's the unholy Trinity, our relationships, our sexual impurity lives, and our life of prayer.
You know, you remind me, Father, we're talking with Father Bill Barron and Matthew Christoff, talking about men. And when you mentioned that, it reminds me of this dynamic that sometimes men get into. And that is that their faith, even really good Catholic men, that their faith is made up of studying about their faith. And there's nothing wrong with studying about your faith, but if your faith is made up and that's all it is studying the faith, you never really go from the page to the pavement and put these things into practice. And so it's not enough to just think, well, there's evil in my life or there's sin in my life and I'm aware of that and I've learned about it and I think I'm okay now. They do have to take action in their life, and it reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
No, that's right, Jeff. And one of the oldest bits of wisdom that so many saints have said over the centuries, including and perhaps even especially about moral sin, sexual sin, and impurity, they says it does two awful things. It fogs the mind, and it mesmerizes the will. And boy, is that true. And that's part of the beauty of this conference coming up. We want not only to inform the mind, like you said, which is so important, but we want to stir the will, especially out of that kind of slumber, that paralysis, that weakening of the will. I think that's going to be a beautiful thing happening at this conference for many of the men.
What would you say, Father, to someone listening right now that says, Father, you know, you know, I appreciate that and everything, and I might even go to your parish, but, you know, I'm far gone. I've really made a mess out of my life, and I don't even see how I can straighten this out. What do you say to the guy that might think like that?
I have one word. It's a short word. It's a four-letter word. It's hope. And Pope John Paul II, now St. John Paul II, he identified hope as the issue in our day. And I've said to countless men, hope is not an emotion. It's not optimism. It's not having a positive view of things. Hope is the fact that God has not finished working with you or with me. He does not give on us, even if we give up on ourselves. Hope is that God, through whatever means necessary, is still at work. He is doing work. We are under construction. That is the virtue we need.
One of the great things about Catholicism is the sacraments. I mean, that's one of the great things about the church is that we have a sacrament of reconciliation. And the sacrament of reconciliation, when we properly understand it, is an encounter with Christ. It's an encounter with Jesus. And the answer to the trap that men are in with sin, whether it be pornography or whatever it might be in their life, the answer to that getting out of the trap is Jesus. You know, a trap is designed to not look like a trap. Men don't look at traps and say, I believe I'll step in that today. And a trap is not only designed to not look like a trap is designed to be stronger than the one it's intended for. And men, there's a trap out there. And once you're in it, you know you're in it, whether it's pornography or whether it's alcohol or whether it's prescription drugs or whatever it might be in your life. You know when you're trapped. And if you try to get out of a trap yourself, it's kind of like a muskrat trying to get out of a conibar trap by itself. It's not going to happen, and it's really just a matter of time before death sets in. And so God gives us these days where he says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of freedom. And Matthew, I know you're big on teaching men that confession is going to be one of the major planks in a successful Catholic man's life. And we're going to have confessions at the conference.
Absolutely. We're going to have lots of priests there to hear a confession. You know, Father Bear, you mentioned that starting with that word conquer, and the idea of hope, I think that is so powerful. There's another aspect of that conquer part, which is men need to be angry about being manipulated into sin. All you have to do is turn on the TV, and I'm speaking specifically about lust because that's one of the things that comes up over and over again in this research. We're getting manipulated by Satan to look at things we shouldn't look at, to become addicted to it, and we can go into confession and hear those words by our priest absolving us of these sins. And you can start new. You can start fresh again. And, you know, in our Catholic Man Nights that thousands of men have been to, over and over again, we have men that have been away from confession for many, many years, as high as 50 years, I've heard. And their feeling of the lifting of the burden and the freedom and the renewal of hope that comes from confession is something we want every man to be feeling every month.
Mm-hmm. Since I appreciate that, Matthew. Father Bear, since confession is so important in the life of a Catholic man, I'm sure that we're going to have men, perhaps even listening to the show right now, that have, you know, driving down 494, 694, they're listening to the show, didn't even plan on listening to it, and they're thinking, well, I'd like to go to that conference, but I haven't been to confession for a long time. Two questions. I can't remember what to say. And I do want to go to confession. I can't remember what to say. Number two, are you going to tell anybody?
We're going to get more into that for the last few minutes of this hour, but I'll just say something to start off, and that is we've carefully arranged for our 30 or 40 priests to have small buttons on. They indicate either a smiling face or a mean face. That is which kind of priest you're going to have to go to. Of course, I'm joking here. You will be treated by respect and dignity by every one of those priests there. And yes, I know it's worth saying 100 times, no one will ever be told what you've confessed in that confession. It is absolutely secret.
Yeah.
I can't even talk to the person who confessed the sin after confession about what they said. If they said they robbed a donut truck and I forgive their sins, I cannot go out in the church parking lot and say, what the heck did you do with those donuts? That's how secret it is. I can't even talk to you.
So listen, guys, if you have robbed a donut truck, this is your conference. And go to Father Bear because you know that it will not be spoken of. I'm joking about that. But on all seriousness, confession is one of those places where you are face-to-face with Christ. This is a place to unload all the sin and start over, and I want to encourage you. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show here, and then we've got some announcements, some great things happening in the Twin Cities that we're going to be talking about. But we have a great guest speaker for the men's conference, and that is Father Rich Simon. And he is a host here on Relevant Radio of Father Simon Says. And he's got a lot of great advice for you. And he's going to be talking about the nature of sin and dealing with it. And once again, men and ladies, I hope you pass this on to your men who aren't listening. We're not talking about conquering sin as being the only thing that a man has to do. This is a beginning. We've got a lot of great initiatives that we're going to be announcing, some particularly really fruitful initiatives that center around fathers reading the Bible to their children. And I think that's going to be a great one. But we have Father Rich Simon. Archbishop Nynstedt will be celebrating Mass. Father Bear, you're giving the homily there. Last year was just incredible. I'm going to be talking a couple times. Matthew, you're going to be relaying to the men this issue of the man crisis and kind of, you know, opening up our eyes. And then, Father Bear, you're going to be closing the conference out. Connor Flanagan, a young man who's been on this show not too long ago, is going to be singing for us. He's just beautiful music and very powerful words. It really looks like it's going to be a great morning. We've got a great breakfast for the men, too. And I would encourage you once again, go to the website archspm.org. archspm.org, and you can find out all the information about the conference. And we're really looking forward to you going. And men, I would encourage you to sign up ahead of time. You know that last year we had 1,500 men, only 300 of them pre-signed up. We had 1,200 walk-ins, and that's good, but it would be nice to have everybody. We got about a minute left. Father, any last words to our listeners and encouragement to come?
I encourage the men who hear this, who say, "This is not for me." That's exactly what I hope you're saying, because God wants not only to give you a good morning, a helpful morning, God wants to surprise the heck out of you with what he does with you.
Very good. And Matthew, any last comments?
You bet. I just encourage our ladies out there to be strong. You need to evangelize your men in your life, just like they need to evangelize you. Invite your men, invite your sons. Have them come to this conference and have a transformation in their life.
I appreciate both of you coming on the show. Father Bear, great pastor, looking forward to hearing your words on March 21st, Saturday. And Matthew Christoph, thank you for your work and your research, and pray that this really becomes a fruitful weekend. So ladies, if you're listening, as Matthew said, get your guys there. Get your guys there. You won't be sorry. Guys, you're listening, be there. One Saturday out of the year, this is not only for you, this is for your family, this is for your children, this is for the archdiocese, your parish. Ultimately, this is for Jesus. May the Lamb who was slain receive the fruit of his suffering in your life. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're going to be back in a moment with some big announcements, great things happening around the archdiocese.
One of the best investments you can make in improving your home's value is updating a bathroom. If you haven't updated recently, you'll be amazed at the improvements in fixtures and design for comfort and efficiency. You may also need to replace a water heater or have leaks or slow-running drains throughout your home that could benefit from a visit of a reliable plumber.
I'm Jim Alberts of A.J. Alberts Plumbing, and we're excited to be a Relevant Radio sponsor. If plumbing needs arise in your home, or you'd like to quickly and painlessly upgrade a bathroom, I hope you'll contact us. For 26 years, A.J. Alberts Plumbing has provided personal service, quality products, and superior workmanship. Our customers often tell us we are like a one-stop shop for remodeling a bathroom or making plumbing improvements to their home.
You can visit their beautiful showroom in Woodbury or call 651-738-0580, also online at ajalberts.com.
Make sure when you call to let us know you are a Relevant Radio listener for discounts on fixtures or improvements. 651-738-0580. AJ Alberts Plumbing. There is a difference.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek with a quick look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities. All are invited to a prison ministry information workshop Saturday, March 21st, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemont. Lunch provided. Deacon Tim Zinda, coordinator of St. Paul Archdiocesan Correctional Ministries, will be speaking along with others active in prison outreach. You can participate as a prayer warrior, pen pal, or other support area. Find out more, go to the parish website, stjosephcommunity.org. Click click the tab for parish outreach. That's stjosephcommunity.org.
Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake youth present Living Stations of the Cross, and all are invited to attend March 19th and 20th at 7 p.m. with benediction on Friday night. There will be a special presentation for youth groups on Wednesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. The passionate message of Easter will be conveyed through the teens' dramatic portrayal of the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior, and a score of inspirational music. Free will offering will be taken. For more information, go to churchofstpaul.com.
St. Ambrose of Woodbury Drama Ministry will offer a powerful opportunity to pray the way of the cross. The Living Stations, Were You There?, begins this coming Monday, March 20th, 7 p.m. There will be five performances all together, including one on Palm Sunday at 1:30 and Good Friday at noon. For the full schedule, visit stambroseofwoodbury.org. Again, that's stambroseofwoodbury.org.
Well-known author and architect expert Larry Millett will talk about the Churches of Emmanuel Masqueray at 2:30 p.m. Sunday, March 22nd at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Masqueray was the highly regarded architect of the cathedral and numerous other places of worship, including the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis. The lecture is offered as part of the celebration of the cathedral's centennial year. It's free. It's open to the public. For more information, go to Cathedral of St. Paul. That's cathedralstpaul.org, or the Cathedral Welcome Center. You can call them 651-228-1766.
And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, Jeff?
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking about ongoing formation. We're going to be talking about ongoing formation coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, and looking at a couple of the initiatives that we're going to be introducing to you. Parents reading the Bible to their kids, fathers learning more about their Mass with their boys. All of that's coming up next on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you and have a wonderful week, and may God be praised through everything you do.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.